joins us, and then Pete Pranica. We'll talk Grizz exit interviews, what he got out of that. We will talk about playoff matchups and the play-in excitement. See, LaMelo Ball got fined $35,000 for reckless play. And I think that's right. I know there are some people that think he should have been suspended a game or two. If he gets suspended a game, he's not there for the Charlotte game, which now will be against Orlando. And if you're a Grizz fan, you want LaMelo Ball to play in that game, because if Orlando loses, the balls, the ping pong ball figures get better and better for you. Landon, you agree that that was the appropriate thing to do? I'm not sure. A suspension was right. You know, he did hit his head, seriously. And I think a lot of that was just reaction. As you know, he said, oh, I couldn't see. I don't know about that stuff. But I do know there was a lot of reaction to it, and he did get hit hard. And I don't think in any way that he was literally trying to injure Bam Adebayo. I do think, though, you know, you're going down and you're going to try to help your team a little bit, and you just kind of grab that leg to slow him down so he can't get to it, and you are kind of hurt anyway. So I think it's the proper thing to do. He probably deserves a little lesson in terms of reckless play because, as Dennis Phillippe said, he is a dirty guy. I don't think he's Grayson Allen dirty.
I don't think he's that dirty overall.
Yeah.
I think that was just a really dirty play.
Yeah. And $35,000 seems appropriate to me. So the Tigers do get another local kid from Briarcrest, championship team. Kid's a winner. He wasn't the star. Fred Smith was the star. But guess what? He was a big part of that. This kid, Parker Pounds, was going to Air Force. He's long, lanky. He's 6'5". Good defensive player because he's pretty athletic. Do you realize last year? Now, this is high school, and he's 6'5", and he was up against shorter guys. But he had 35 blocks this year. So that's pretty impressive in its own right. But the most impressive thing is he's a shooting wing. He was the beneficiary of many a good Fred Smith pass. So last year, as a shooter, he shot 40, almost 49% from three-point range. And you could go, you know, he probably didn't take that many threes. No. That was his role. He took 304 threes. And career-wise, if you fouled him, money in the bank, an 86% free throw shooter. So thank you to Air Force for firing the coach. And then he has said, it was an interesting article, that he's been a Tiger fan forever, that his hero was Lester Quinones. He even wears the short shorts inspired by Lester Quinones. And now you add him with Fred Smith, Solo Jackson, both four stars, and you've got another shooter in Rahadz Vavers. Then you've got your combo guard with Beta Cummings. You've got Thedford. We know what he's all about. And, of course, William Wharton. He got seven guys, eight to go. Now, who will those eight guys be? I don't think we have yet, because these guys, I think, are reasonably priced. Okay? NIL money, I think you're in pretty good shape. So, there should be money for the big name. Rowan Brambaugh, maybe? DJ Wagner, maybe? I don't think so. I think DJ is going to go northeast. We don't know about Brambaugh, and probably that's not the case either. But there's a big name out there. There's a big guy out there. And you should have the budget. And you still have the possibility of a discounted, not going to get the money he got last year, Aaron Bradshaw, who has still not entered the portal, and he's got till Monday. That's it. 2 weeks. He's got till Monday. Hasn't entered it yet. Hasn't said a word. Didn't say he was returning either. Don't think he's going pro. That would be a major mistake. So Is he still in the mix? That would be a big that would go with the other big guy I know they have to be looking at. So we'll have to wait and see, but I would say you got seven guys, eight to go. I like the makeup of the seven guys. Landon, your thoughts, at least, you know, the biggest complaint in this day and age, what's the big part of the game? Threes. Now it looks like between this kid, Pounds, that you just got, and really Vavers, you've got two shooters. You know, Thedford can shoot a little bit.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's where we're at in this day and age of basketball. It's always been a fact is you need shooters, and I think last year you didn't have that. You didn't have those surefire guys that could go up and make it. I mean, even Doug McDaniel, who is our lead scorer, still struggled in making a lot of shots. So the fact that you have a lot of those people now is great.
And let's be honest, you were supposed to get more production from three-point range from Quante Berry.
That was
totally disappointing. And, you know, I hate to say it, but Curtis Givens III, CG3, who I just heard is rumored to be going to Ole Miss, according to the guy that Greg and Eli just had on. We'll have to see about that, but, you know, maybe that would be good for him. I hope CG3 lands at a good place. He certainly was not the player Memphis thought they were going to get and paid for a year ago. That doesn't mean that's forever. He was only a sophomore. All right, let's get to Liv before, and we'll check to see if our good friend Jarvo is coming in. We will talk with PD at a switch to 10:45 today, so we juggled up the lineup. It sure seems to me now that Liv Golf, not dead yet. They're going to have that event in Mexico. Waiting to see if the Saudis are going to pull the plug on the money they've been getting from the Public Investment Fund, also known as the public, as PIF. So that thing is worth $1 trillion or more. But they've lost $100 million a month, over $5 billion in less than 5 years. And they're not going to get any more money coming in. They've had a few good internationally attended tournaments. Australia, I think UK, they did well. They have not done well at all here in the United States. They've gone from CW to Fox. And even in that time period, from going from the lesser known to getting a bigger network, I mean, look, Fox does unbelievably well with NFL football, correct? Even with that, they couldn't get a rating going to Fox. It's a dead entity. It's not totally dead, but it's on life support. They'll play in Mexico. I don't know if they will finish the year. So it makes me think, what a terrible decision that John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, and Cam Smith made. They had a one-time opportunity like Brooks Koepka, and they manufactured these qualifications for them to come because that was really all they wanted. Patrick Reed was already on his way out. They didn't have to worry about that, and you know, I think Reed saw that, and that's why he decided to go the route he's going, and he'll end up being on the PGA Tour next year. But those guys had their chance. They had their chance to come back, and they opted not to. And so if indeed, or I should say really when, Liv folds, what do you do about those three guys and maybe a couple of others? Are you going to be like Tom Watson and said, well, wait a second, lifetime suspension means lifetime suspension? I certainly know that you're going to have the punitive requirements that Koepka and Reed are going to have to pay. That's $5 million to charity, and that's about $50 million in equity over the next 5 years. That's about a $55 million penalty. That's the start, because they didn't come back when they could. I personally, I'd make them go through the Corn Ferry Tour. Win your way up. If you're that good, win your way up. As far as I know, John Rahm could end up playing on the DP World Tour, and that would be it. Get enough points, play in the majors, and go from there. But I just would not blanketly let them. I don't know if I'll be as hardline as Tom Watson, who said they should never be allowed to come back, or Brendel Chamblee, I think, sort of has those same sentiments. But I definitely would make it punitive for them to come back. I mean, they got to pay a price. They got all that money coming in. They turned their back. They had one chance to come back. They should have seen this coming. And they didn't take the opportunity. And for that reason, I would make it really hard for them to come back. I think I would. I think I would make them go through the Corn Ferry Tour. In essence, to get your enough wins there or points up to get eligibility back on the PGA Tour. That's what I would do. You know, Rahm's, he gets into the Masters for a lifetime because he's won that. I think his OWGR, his world ranking, is still high enough to get into some of these other majors. Now, I think if you were to win a major, that might get you back qualification on the PGA Tour, because I think you get a two-year exemption. That would be another way to do it. But I would make them pay a price. So our guy, you know him as the Hall of Famer. I know him in a lot of different hats. That would be Jarvis Greer. He's a guy who played in pain. He's going to try to do it today. I know you got to protect that voice for our broadcast of the spring game, if the spring game happens. So, because I don't know what's going to – there's a meeting at 1 o'clock today, and the Tigers are supposed to play at – Simmons Liberty Bay at Simmons.
The Sim. Let's just call it the Sim.
The Sim. Oh man, you sound terrible.
Yeah, I sound bad, don't I?
Yeah, yeah. I think you better rest that voice, my friend.
You think? Well, let me put this out. Okay. PP3 in the vapors. PP3 in the vapors, buddy. For the Tigers. PP3 in the vapors.
DT3 in the vapors.
BP3.
BP3.
Parker Pounds and Vavers, the guy they got from overseas, three-point shooters.
Yeah.
That's the duo.
So so Parker Pounds goes by PP3?
Yes. I'm making it up. I'm just giving him something right
that's
now.
Your, yeah. That's your moniker for him. I got it. PP3 and the Vavers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I like it. I like it. First of all, I like the fact that you got shooters. I like the fact.
Yes.
I like the fact that he's a local kid that grew up watching Memphis. Now it is kind of funny to me. I guess it's because we're getting older. But you know, when he's talking about, I'm old school. I go back to Lester Quinones.
I gotta laugh at that.
I know.
That's funny.
So, you know, we will see. And last thing, because you sound awful, and I want you to be ready for the broadcast if we have a spring game. And we'll know after 1 o'clock today. I don't even know what the options are. The options could be you could move it indoors to the indoor complex, or the other option is you could move it to Sunday because the rain
–
But I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have it at 1 o'clock. But and I know you've been to several practices. What's the thing that has stood out to you in that regard?
Well, quarterbacks can throw the ball. They can throw it. I mean, they can throw the ball. Marcus Stokes and Aaron Nolan can throw the football. Other than that, you know, what can you say?
You got three good running backs too. You know, two that have come from power conferences in Dallin Hayden and the
former Christian Brothers star.
Coven CBHS. Kid. What now? Oh,
former CBHS
former brother.
Star.
That's right. And then you got the kid from Cincinnati.
You know, you can't tell anything. Well, I think we ought to cut it. I can't do it.
No.
I'm sorry.
I think you're exactly correct. So here's my advice to you. Hot water, honey, lemon. Take a lot of that and don't talk at all until we speak on the radio.
Will do.
All right, buddy. Hope you feel better.
Go Tigers. Okay.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Dave. That is Jarvis Greer trying to play in pain, but that was painful listening to him. Play-in games last night before we take the break and talk baseball with Tim Doolin. We'll get more into this with Pete Pranica later. I really want to know what his thoughts on the exit interviews were. But last night, the Clips done. Is that the end of the Kawhi Leonard era? You know, so much controversy to Kawhi and the incentives and really going over the cap that the Clippers were caught doing in getting him. And what did it get them? A 10-seed play-in, one game out this year. He certainly wasn't worth it. That's all I can say. And he didn't play that many games. He's one of those guys that you got to have load management with. He's not durable. He hasn't played. I don't think he's really played a full year since he's been a Clipper. He did with the San Antonio Spurs, but I will say this, a guy who didn't play that many games this year, but is traditionally a guy who played a lot, Steph Curry to the rescue. Curry had 35 points last night and the game winner in L.A. So Golden State now goes to Phoenix Friday for the rights to play OKC. Who, Landon Schmidt, wins that game in Phoenix on Friday?
That's a tough one. I think the Warriors have some magic left in them, but I mean, I don't know. You can't really keep a good playoff Steph down.
I'm with you. I think Golden State's going to win in Phoenix.
I think they might.
They're going to get vanquished quite easily by OKC. But I'll tell you one of the reasons why, besides Steph Curry and Draymond Green, Porzingis. Porzingis looked healthy last night. He's hitting threes.
Al Horford
he's
looked
dunking.
Good too.
Horford, you know, he's just ageless.
He is timeless, man.
So I'm with you. I think that Golden State goes to Phoenix on Friday, but I don't think they have a chance against OKC.
No, I don't think so. But I think they got enough magic left in them to get past the Suns.
And then Philadelphia beats Orlando 109-97. So they're now the seventh seed. They will face Boston. They will get vanquished quick, especially if Joel Embiid does not show up. But they won without him last night. Tyrese Maxey was terrific. He had 31. And, you know, how can you not be impressed with rookie Vijay Edgecombe, who, by the way, has an edge about him? Did you see after he made a bucket, he was defended by Suggs, and he kept going into Suggs all the way through to the standard of the basket. It was, he got a technical for it, he deserved it, but the rookie was basically saying, get out of my way.
I mean, there's a reason why he's in talks for Rookie of the Year.
So Orlando faces Charlotte at home. The winner gets Detroit. I got a feeling Orlando's going to win that game.
I'm on the opposite side. I like what the Hornets got.
So you're
got
going both
on.
Road teams.
I am. I like what the Hornets got going on. I believe they can edge it out over the Magic.
Hmm. And then finally, before we take the break, and we'll talk some baseball, this Tiger Woods story gets even more interesting. You know that the police department in South Florida, where he had his crash and where he was found with two, what he says are prescription pills, they have attempted to subpoena his prescription records. Tiger Woods is now fighting that subpoena. At least his attorneys are, while he's rehabbing somewhere in Switzerland, I think we're told, somewhere in Europe. The question would be, why would you fight this? If you've got prescriptions for these drugs, you go, okay, I got prescriptions for it. Everything's legal. I need it. I'm in constant pain. I've had 7 surgeries in the last 2 years. That would make sense to me. Why would you fight this? Especially since he never took the test. He didn't take the blood test or the urine test he was supposed to. So how would they know what's in his system? The only thing I can think of that you would fight this is the two drugs that they found on him. He didn't have a prescription for. That's the only thing that makes sense about this fight in my non-lawyer mind. I don't really get it. But there's got to be something to it if you're fighting it. Stay tuned on all of that. We take the break as I sit in the Family Leisure studio. I got to go see them because I know there's a chemical sale going on. I also know you might still cash in on the floor model sale where you can get the great hot tubs. You can get the in-stock spas. You can even get the cold plunges. They are on sale. If they're a floor model, there's a deep discount. Tell them we sent you. You might even get more off. So go see Billy. Go see Lindsay. If you need chemicals for your pool, and especially now that the wormies, the buds have come down from the trees, everybody's green. Everybody's pool goes green. Go see our friends. Go see the chemical lady at Family Leisure I-40 and Widen Road. We talk baseball in a minute. The Dodgers, $525 million they spent on that team last year. They won a World Series. Are they going to three-peat? Shohei, good pitching last night. We'll talk about the major leagues and some SEC baseball, maybe even some American. Tim Doolin, our baseball expert extraordinaire. He comes your way in just a minute.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Wallow and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Jay Woloshin.
We're going to talk some baseball in a minute with our baseball expert, Tim Doolin. He's brought to you by Tim's favorite golf course. That's Miramichi. What does he love about Miramichi? The beauty, the competitive aspect of it. If you want to practice, oh my goodness, the best practice facilities, a great deck that overlooks 9 and 18. I think it's the best view in all of Shelby County. Then there's the clubhouse with all kinds of TVs to watch sporting events after you've played, with a full stock bar and great food and just great camaraderie, great people. That's what Miramichi is all about. It's the true golf experience. It's great competition. It's great scenery. Could be difficult, but you can move up tee boxes like I have now. And it's not as far as you think. It's not in Millington. Literally, Woodstock is 25 minutes from my driveway in East Memphis. All you got to do is get there. You'll be wowed. That's Miramichi. Tim Doolin joining us now, 18 games into the Major League season. Guess who's got the best record?
The Dodgers.
Yeah. They also spent the most money. I don't know what they're spending this year, but it's probably more than what they spent last year, which was 525 million smackaroonies. A half a billion dollars.
They're spending more, but they're making it, or they wouldn't be spending it. You had Edwin Diaz, you know, probably the best closer in the game, and you had a guy named Kyle Tucker that you're paying, I think, $60 million a year, too, for the next 4 years. So,
stole from the Cubs.
Yeah, stole from the Cubs. But the Cubs are playing pretty good.
Well, they're 500.
Well, that's pretty
they did
good
take two out of three from the Mets in New York City.
Well, everybody's beating up on the Mets, but that's good. They did. They did do that.
I got to ask you about some of these changes, and I don't think the umpires love it. My friend Andy Fletcher, I really haven't talked to him since everything. He listens to the show a bunch, though. But since everything's been implemented with the ABS challenge system, I don't know if umpires love it because they have been made to look foolish. Most of the time, I think, though, they show you that even when they miss, it's by a half an inch, a quarter of an inch. I think they've been pretty good. I like the fact that rights can be wronged. What do you get from the ABS challenge system?
Well, I think the ABS is good, and I think the umpires are not saying it's bad. Here's what people don't realize, the everyday fan, is the fact that the strike zone has changed with the ABS. So think about this: if you've been an umpire as long as Andy's been an umpire, you pretty much have a feel for the zone. A really good feel for it. And now all of a sudden the zone has changed. It used to be the strike was at the,
knees?
From the front of the plate. Now it's at the middle of the plate.
And every player has been measured, and their strike zone is different, you know, for every player, whereas right. in the past it hasn't been that way. So I think it's been good. I think the challenges add another factor to the game that it has some strategy because you only have a few. When do you use them? Who's allowed to use them? You know, as far as a manager, who the analytics guys say these guys have the best eye, so we're going to allow them to have some freedom to choose when they challenge or not. Some guys don't have a feel for the strike zone as well. And they've probably been told, do not challenge until after the seventh inning.
I
think it's been good.
Yeah, I think it's also good for rewarding the best umpiring and getting the best postseason crews together, honestly. Because, I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to name names, but there's one umpire that has lost so many challenges, and he missed a play where the guy was out on a throw to first base that was so obvious it was crazy, and he didn't think the runner hit the bag or some crazy thing. I do think this is a great way of evaluating your umpires and getting the best guys together for the postseason.
100%. We've talked about that over the last several years. Is, you know, the what is the playoffs? The playoffs are the best teams playing at that time, you know, and they deserve to be in the playoffs. Well, no different than the umpires. It's almost like the rec ball mentality. Well, this guy's been an umpire for so many years, he deserves. It's his turn. No, it's not his turn. The best umpire should be in the postseason, and you're exactly right. They need to be graded and accountable. However, we got to have a little bit of wiggle room, I think, until the All-Star break, until these umpires get accustomed to the new zone and the new zone for each player. So I think it's been good.
I think it's really cool that they measured each guy. I don't know if they're using that in the program, though, but
They are.
So they're using the measurements they used for ABS now when they're listing it on the roster, how tall they truly are?
That's the strike zone. So Jose Altuve's strike zone is totally different than Aaron Judge's because Aaron Judge is 6'7", Altuve's 5'7". So, yeah, I mean, and that's the way it should be. I mean, it should be strike zone. But here's what's interesting, Willow, is you measuring the strike zone from the player standing, you know, standing straight up. And now all of a sudden you've got a hitter who stands in a crouch. So all of a sudden his strike zone becomes bigger for himself because of that. So there's a lot, you know, analytics is going crazy with everything, and that's just another thing they're having to factor in to the hitter's philosophy and the hitter's game plan on how he's going to attack the pitcher. So, but overall, I think we're talking about it, so I think it's good.
I agree with you 100%. I think it's really good. Yesterday was tax day, but I had forgotten this, but we should remember April 15th, not just for tax day. It has become Jackie Robinson Day, who broke the color barrier in 1947, which, you know, really, it's just barely out of my lifetime. So it's not that long ago. Now, I guess next year will be the 80th year. I love that baseball has done what they have done. They were the first of the major leagues to finally integrate, and Lord knows it was needed. And since then, so many great players of African-American descent that have become the greatest players of all time, Barry Bonds, and the list goes on and on and on. But it began with Jackie Robinson, and I love it. I love it that everybody on April 15th wears the number 42.
Well, there's no question about it. I know I saw something on Instagram. Mookie received the first pitch last night from Jackie's granddaughter, and I think Major League Baseball not only has done a great job of making people aware of it, but they've just done a really good job of marketing it, as well as they've been over the last several years trying to broaden the opportunities for minorities to participate at earlier ages. And travel ball, et cetera, to get the exposure. And we're seeing some of those players reach the major leagues relatively fast in today's game and thriving. Joe Adell, there's a lot of players that went through the experience that Major League Baseball has offered some of these minorities that, you know, normally wouldn't have the wherewithal, the finances to be able to be trained and developed like they are today.
Speaking of which, what is the best pathway now for a kid in high school to get to the major leagues? If he's a great player, is it smarter now to play another year in college baseball? Because I'm beginning to think the SEC might be the equivalent of Double A baseball, and you're going to get paid a lot more money than you will as a minor leaguer. I'm really not certain. What if you've got a great Doolin Dodger? What are you recommending to that kid?
That's a great question, and it's at the forefront of everybody trying to help guide these players. I think it's there's some variables. Obviously, for instance, we've got a 2027 Jacob DeGrom kind of a clone. He's up to 98. He's just got the body. His arm works. He's a Georgia commit.
How old is he?
And he's just a 2027 grad, so he's only 16 right now.
Wow.
So the problem you have is Major League Baseball and all of these teams' models, there were only two right-handed high school pitchers last year that went in the first two rounds. So that's telling you exactly what you're saying is that their model is let these guys go to the SEC or the Power Five and prove that they're worthy of getting paid 3 years later in the draft, and they're okay with paying those guys more at that time versus signing them now. However, the same model for position players and hitters is they want to get that young hitter out of high school so they can get him, you know, 500 at-bats a year. If you go to the SEC or any college, you're going to get maybe 200 at-bats if you have a lengthy season in
right.
1 year. So 3 years of college, you still haven't gotten the same amount of at-bats you've gotten in one season in the minor league. So, and for hitters, it's all about that's your experience. Get, you know, 500 bats, 400 bats a year, you're gaining on it. So there's a blend of what's best. You know, we take into consideration in representing players, you know, the maturity level. Are they physical enough? Do they have the mindset to be able to grind through the minor leagues? Because it's difficult. Playing on the backfields as an 18-year-old signee at 9 o'clock in the morning is not what you thought of professional baseball. You thought you were going to be immediately playing in front of fans, et cetera, at night. You're riding on buses. It's just a difficult grind to get there. So if you're not getting paid enough money that's life-changing after you pay your taxes, your best bet is to go to college.
So you're DeGrom kid. You're 27 grad that's the right-hander.
Right.
What do you think he will get paid for NIL for those 3 years? Unless he signed a major bonus that were millions, wouldn't
right.
he be better served making money at the SEC? At Georgia, as you said, he's a Georgia commit. What will he get? I don't want you to disclose stuff you can't.
Yeah. Well,
but give me
yeah.
a ballpark of what kind of money he's going to make
six
the next
figures.
3 years.
Six figures annually. And the biggest thing is when you choose a college, and you and I've talked about this a lot off the air, is you don't go to a school like this kid does not go because he's getting paid a lot of money. He goes to be developed by one of the best pitching coaches in the country, in Wes Johnson. He's proven it. He had a guy named Paul Skenes. He was at LSU.
Right.
He was at Arkansas. He was a big league pitching coach. So that's the first reason why you would pick the school. Then second, if you're going to get paid, you know, really good in the NIL, that's obviously a bonus. And then you're playing in the SEC, which is a very difficult conference, and you're treated like a king, and you've got all the amenities and all that. You fly to, you know, fly to your games on the weekends. So those are the reasons why you would choose school over the minor leagues. Now, if he's going to get life-changing money in excess of $2 million, he's got a decision to make. Do I go, you know, get into professional baseball and start chasing the big leagues? And we talked about Matt Cain, who played with us, and Memphis
right.
Native. It was beneficial for him because he was a 17-year-old high school graduate. He signed, and instead of going to the University of Memphis, so he would have gone to Memphis 3 years later. He would have been drafted. So he made more money in his last 3 years as a big leaguer
sure.
with that last contract
right.
that he would not have gotten Wolo if he had gone to college. So there's just a lot of variables that you just gather enough information to present to the player and their family to make that decision.
By the way, last summer, Matt Cain put into the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. All right, you mentioned Georgia. They're ahead in the SEC. Right. They're 11-4. They're ahead of A&M and Texas, that are both 9-5. I believe Florida's 9-6. But here's where I want to go with this. The top football team, they said last year, Texas paid about $40 million in NIL budget. I believe most of the teams that were up there in the NCAA tournament were paying around $15 million NIL budget. What is Georgia's NIL budget? What is UCLA's number one in the country? What is their budget out of the Big Ten?
Their budget's not near what the SEC's is.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at the SEC as far as, and I can't give you specific numbers, but I do know that talking to Georgia's got a decent amount. Texas is Texas A&M, Mississippi State, LSU are spending the most.
Tennessee, well, you got to ballpark me. You must have some kind of an idea. Is it $4 million, $3 million? I mean, what's their budget?
Oh, it's probably, for those schools, seven.
Really?
Seven to ten. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
What do you think Memphis is?
Memphis, I wouldn't think they'd have not even $500,000 in NIL.
Wow.
That's the difficult piece. And here's the tough part. I was talking to the scouting director the other day about, we were just talking about the NIL, and you know, here LSU is probably spending the most. They're 6-9 and at toward the bottom. The challenge you have is you can scout the portal and you go get a mid-major. Let's say you go get a mid-major first baseman that just has crushed it last year at a mid-major. There's no guarantee that this guy's going to come in and be that same guy in the SEC. You can evaluate it all day long, but until he lives it and sees it every Friday and Saturday and Sunday, you don't know. How do you know that they're going to at least be some form of a teammate, of buying into some form of a culture, even though it's difficult? And then you got guys that have animosity in the clubhouse. Well, Dave Woloshin's making more than me, and
right.
I'm better than him. My stats are better than him. And then you go on a three-game losing streak, which is real easy to do in the SEC. And then you got cancer in the clubhouse. And then you look up and you lose six in a row. So it's just not a simple formula, much like the Yankees for years. They were spending more money than anybody. You can't buy a championship. You've got to have some all-stars. You got to have some really good baseball players. You got to have chemistry guy. You know, that's what the Dodgers have been able to do.
Yeah, but they spent $525 million last year and spending more this year, so you got to spend too.
You got to do both. That's exactly right.
Yeah,
but there's got to be a little bit of a balance there.
Yeah.
Why have they kept Kiki Hernandez?
You got to have role players. Tommy Edmonds. Yeah, you got to have role guys.
You know, Rojas. They don't win the World Series without Rojas last year.
That's right.
And Rojas was what? He was a utility player. He was a chemistry guy.
Yeah.
Mookie loves that guy.
Yeah.
So those are the guys you got to have to get you over the hump and win three in a row.
He is our guy on baseball, Tim Doolin. We'll do this again next Thursday. Thank you, Tim.
All right, Willow.
That's our guy. He's brought to you in part by the good folks at Ken Garland Custom Home Builders. That would be Ken and his son, William. He's in the business now, third generation of building beautiful palaces all across the Mid-South. Go to kengarland.com. You'll see what I'm talking about. And then you might want to give him a call if you're interested not only in building that dream home, maybe he has some land you could use. Maybe you're not sure how to utilize the land you've got and you've been waiting. He knows. He's got the wisdom. But here's the other part. He can renovate. You don't want to go from where you are. You love your location. Renovation with innovation. He's the master at that. He sees all the little details plus the big picture all at once. Fun to talk to. Chat with him. You'll be sold. The only way to go if you're renovating, renovation with innovation. Or if you're building that dream home, it's Ken Garland, Custom Home Builders. We are headed down the road, and we're going to check in with Pete Pranica on the exit interviews with the Grizzlies, the NBA playoffs, and a whole lot more. Pete is right around the corner.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
The Grizzlies season is over. The exit interviews in the books. We are joined, as we always are throughout the year, with the television voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. That is Pete Prenica. Your sense of the exit interviews, what did you make out of Zach Kleiman and Tuomas Iisalo and, of course, the players? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. You know, as far as Tuomas is concerned, I mean, we understand he is a very thoughtful and intelligent guy, and he's got a very analytical look at how the game is to be played. And I had to chuckle a little bit because during the Houston finale last Sunday, Brevin and I were talking about, you know, if you're going to give grades, I think for 12 months you have to give them an incomplete because of how many injuries and lineup shuffles there were. And I thought it was interesting that 12 months self-graded himself with an incomplete as well. So I found that to be humorous. Obviously, with Zach Kleiman, he's not going to commit to any deals. You know, there was nothing really uncovered as far as the Morant situation, other than the fact that, you know, the two sides have been talking. What the context or what the content of those conversations has been, you know, that obviously is a private matter. So that's really what I got out of it. I didn't stick around for the players, although I did see the clips of Taj Gibson saying, you know, I've been around teams that have had bad years, but good people, and I've seen them come back. So, and he's seeing a lot of those same traits with the Grizzlies. So, look, at the end of the day, I was thinking about this. Well, think about this. I'm going to assume that the preferred starting lineup was Morant, Coward, Wells, Jackson, and Edie. Mm-hmm. Care to guess how many minutes they played together?
10?
6.
6. Okay.
For the entire year.
Wow.
So now, you know, that's the thing that was so frustrating about this season. They put together this amazing roster. We never saw it. And, you know, that's the thing that has been, you know, really, really frustrating, because you came into the season, it's like, hey, Ty Jerome, we saw Ty in preseason. Like, man, this is going to be amazing. And once we get Zach Edey, it's going to be really good. And it was good for about 11 games. And when Edie played, and then after that, you know, we all know how the story ended up.
Well, the good news is this. You've got Coward, you've got Edie, and you've got Ty Jerome, I think, for the next 2 years. Unless they were to move them and other pieces. So you do have sort of a trio there that you can build around. And you're, I guess, going to have 3 picks in the first 32, no matter what happens, and 2 of those could be really good picks, depending on what happens with Orlando in the play-in. I do think for that reason, you know, Zach Kleiman is definitely selling that, and I don't blame him. I would, and I think he's definitely deserving of another chance to rebuild this team, because I think he's pretty good at that selection process and finding gems like Coward, like the move he made for Coward. So I think that there is enthusiasm in that regard, and you can't really speculate until you know what the picks are going to be. But with this draft class, I think this can be a pretty competitive team as early as next year. Am I crazy?
No, but they've got to be healthy. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the greatest priority, as I look at it, is how do we fix this where the Grizzlies have set NBA records for most games lost 2 of the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why before the season, well, everybody says, well, how good are the Grizzlies going to be? And my response is, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, you tell me how healthy they're going to be. You look at the teams, and we get a daily report on the, you know, number of games lost due to injury, number of different starting lineups, And the teams that are at the bottom of those rankings are typically the teams that are at the top of the standings. Health really is the coin of the realm in the NBA. And the Grizzlies broke their own NBA record with 561 games lost due to injury. That's like seven seasons worth of player games missed due to injury. That's the number that you just can't do anything from a standings and winning standpoint with those type of numbers.
Well, and that's 2 out of 3 years that you've had those kind of missed games.
Right.
If you're Zach Kleiman, what are you doing to try to figure that out? Is there just bad luck? Is there training methods, off-season things that are working? I mean, what do you attribute this incredible run of bad health to?
I think some of it is luck, but, you know, beyond that, look, they track the data. And, you know, he did, Zach did say, you know, we're going to look at every facet of the operation. So, you know, you have to take a look at it. What the windup of that is going to be, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to tell you that, you know, the training and rehab methods are good, bad, or indifferent. I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate on them. All I know is you've had 2 of the last 3 years, and the year in between, you were 7th in games lost. So there, you know, and you have a season-ending injury. You know, Brandon Clark played 2 games this year.
Yeah.
Zach Edey played 11. You know, those when you lose somebody for a season, and Morant, you know, played what 2 dozen games maybe. You know, the numbers add up.
I know in the last 3 years he's only played a third of the games.
Yeah, his availability has been a major issue.
I don't know that you know this. I'm just speculating like you. But based on the way that Zach danced around it and tried to be as professional as he could and not be negative about Jock, because he's trying to deal him too. That's part of it. But I don't see any way, especially they didn't let him do the jersey thing at the end. I just don't see any way that he is a part of the Grizzlies organization next year. Do you have any gut feel about that?
I would tend to agree with you. You know, Tim McMahon from ESPN.com reporting today that the Grizzlies are going to look to move him over the summer, and that it would be easier to move him over the summer. I think once you see the draft order settled, you know, is there going to be a team out there that is going to realize, hey, in the draft, we're not going to get a lead guard that we really like? That may be part of the calculus that determines what ultimately happens, along with the biggest domino of them all, literally and physically, is Giannis. What happens to Giannis?
Right.
What do the Bucks do? Do the Bucks? We know that they're going to have a new coach. We're not sure if they're going to have a new general manager. So, you know, with all that going on, where does that leave Giannis? And if a team makes a swing at Giannis and misses, then do they take a swing at Morant? I guess that's my point.
Based on Giannis's comments about management, I would think if he's going to be there, that GM would not be there. That would be my best bet. That's so weird. You know, you're from that neck of the woods. You're a Milwaukee guy. So do you think Giannis will be a Buck next year?
I really think he wants to stay there, but he also wants to win a championship. So those two competing priorities, are they going to be in sync or will they be at odds with each other? If they're going to be at odds with each other, he's out the door. I mean, and John Horst has done his best job trying to surround Giannis. You know, they brought in Damian Lillard. They thought that they were going to have some good talent to surround him, and it never really came together, and clearly we're reading now about locker room dysfunction. Doc Rivers was unhappy with players, and players were unhappy with Doc, and Doc called out players, and players said, okay, that's a wrap. So there's a whole layer of drama, I think, going on in Milwaukee. So, you know, the owners are going to have a choice. You know, does John Horst stay, or does he go? Because if Horst stays, he's going to pick the new coach. If he goes, you better get a general manager and then have the new general manager pick the coach. And, oh, by the way, Chicago's looking for a general manager.
Right.
So there's a lot of intrigue, and it's all over the league.
You know, back to Ja for 1 second. And we both assume he's gone. What kind of return do you think that he gets? Because, I you know, even when he did play in the minimal amount of games he played this year, he showed you he can still play. There's a lot of baggage that goes with it, but he can still play. Do you believe the Grizz get any value for moving him?
Well, I mean, financially, you're going to have to get players back simply because of the salary that he carries. What is the quality of those players? You know, the reporting had been that the Grizzlies wanted players and picks for Morant, and the "and picks" part of that sentence was where rival GMs were going, like, no, we're not giving up draft assets. We'll give you players or a player, but we're not going all the way and throwing in picks. So I think that it's going to be players. I would be somewhat surprised if the Grizzlies got a first-round pick in addition to players for him.
All right, last thing, real quick. Charlotte and Orlando in the play-in on Friday in Orlando. Charlotte's actually the favorite in this game. It means something to the Grizz, and Orlando loss helps them with ping-pong balls for the Orlando pick. How do you think that game will end?
Charlotte is on a real roll right now, and Orlando is the rare team that has a chance to go to the playoffs, and all the chatter is, fire Jamal Mosley, their coach.
Right.
So I'm riding with Charlotte, and not just because the Grizzlies get a lottery pick out of it.
Okay. I'm hoping that the lottery does fall the right way for the Grizzlies. That is for certain. Thank you, my friend, as always. We'll do it again in your usual spot next Thursday.
Sounds good.
All right. That is our guy. That is the one and only Pete Pranica, the television voice of your Memphis Grizzlies. He's brought to you by Sheldon Rosengarten, Mark Spensdorf, who's a terrible golfer because he's a great real estate agent. That's the bottom line truth. Sheldon Rosengarten can't hit a golf ball. He can three-putt. He'll spray it all over the place because he never practices. He loves the game, but he never practices because he's always working. That is 365, 24/7. You call him at 483-0546. I promise you he'll answer. Or you want to know more about him, go to MemphisRelocate.com. That's the other way to get a hold of him and to see exactly what he's done. He's got this strategic marketing program that is the best. He's been around forever, so he's got the experience and he's got the plan. And you know what? You got to have a plan, but you got to work your plan. That's what he does so beautifully. If you go with him, you'll get to the closing table quicker and you'll make more money because this strategic marketing program works. Again, you want to sell that house? Talk to two or three real estate brokers. Make sure he's one of them. You'll love it. You get a hold of him by calling 483-0546 or MemphisRelocate.com. That'll do it for us for our Thursday. Johnny Radio's right around the corner. We'll see you tomorrow bright and early. Have a great day, everyone.